Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The best local sports talk in the Flower City. One Bills Live and the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Weekday afternoons on the Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
Man, how lucky are we right now in the Sports Bar to talk to somebody who's been in the middle of the Trent Williams story from back in June. Grant Paulson from our sister station 106.7 The Fan. You can hear him on radio.com through the app. Who's in Houston right now for Game 6 of the World Series. Grant, good talking to you again. Thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, my pleasure. How are you guys?
Yeah, so this is breaking news that no, the Redskins didn't trade Williams. And in fact, Williams now, according to many reports, is coming back to the team. So does this mean the Redskins actually won their little standoff with their left tackle?
No, absolutely not. As far as I'm concerned, I think it actually means the opposite. So here's kind of where we're at is, by not trading Trent Williams, who's got 2 years left on his deal, he's now going to try to accrue this season, so he's 1 year closer to free agency. Now, does that mean he's going to play? I'm not really sure. You know, could he come back and report and quote-unquote have different ailments like Jalen Ramsey did? I think that's a possibility. But, you know, my thought was you had to trade him today because if he is reinstated and he does come back and he's able to accrue a season, then you're in big trouble. Then you go from trading a guy who's got 2 years left on his deal, or in this case, a year and a half, and the team has control of him, to a guy who's just a year away from free agency and your asset loses a lot of value on the market this offseason. Now, there are some conflicting reports out there. I've got a few texts into Redskins officials and people around the league trying to get some specifics, because there is some thinking that maybe, you know, the league and the team now after the trade deadline would have to reinstate him, and maybe, you know, they could view this as him trying to kind of get one over on the team and it could backfire on him. But as of right now, my understanding is when you play six games or you're on the active roster for six games, you accrue that season. And so he's got 2 years left on his deal counting this one and next year. And if you trade a piece who's, you know, got a year and a half as opposed to a piece who's got 1 year, it stands to reason you get a lot more back. So it seems to me like a miscalculation from the Redskins, but my understanding is that they knew, because he was in the building today, that he was going to be trying to report, and that had to, at some point, factor into their decision.
Grant, then bottom line it for us. Do we see Trent Williams playing for Washington as soon as this Sunday for the Bills? Because we're looking ahead to Sunday already, and he would certainly, well, he would certainly help Washington's chances of winning in New Era Field.
Certainly would. I don't think you'll see him this Sunday, if I had to guess. I mean, he has not been with the team since last football season. He wasn't there all offseason. He wasn't there in training camp. I don't know what kind of shape he's in. You know, the people I talked to today that saw him said he looked similar to how he did when he left. They haven't seen him in pads and on a field, if he's in football shape. I'd be stunned if he played in a few days. I mean, you just have no idea what he's been up to. He works very hard. He trains very hard as part of a I'm actually out here in Houston for the World Series now, and this is where he just flew in from and lives. And he and Adrian Peterson have a gym out here that they're big in, involved in high up. But, you know, I don't think he'll play this weekend. I think there's a chance he won't play this season, to be honest with you. Now, how we get there, I'm not really sure. But he still has no interest in being a Redskin. I believe he's there to try to win this game of chicken so that he can get out of there sooner rather than possible. Sooner rather than later, I should say, and as soon as possible. And also to kind of stick it to them after they didn't trade him to try to accrue that season. Otherwise, he'd have 2 years left on his deal as a Redskin, and if they don't trade him, you know, they would be able to just hold him hostage for another couple seasons. He doesn't want that.
Grant Paulson, 106.7 The Fan in D.C., our guest here in the Sports Bar. You can catch him on the radio.com app. Grant, I want to get to the World Series here in a little bit, but more on the Redskins because, you know, we are so Bill-centric here in Western New York. Whoever is a quarterback this week, we're hearing reports that Haskins is just, I don't know, not ready for this yet. What are you seeing out of the rookie quarterback in D.C.?
Well, he's ill-prepared to play right now in the National Football League. He looks to me like a guy who's a project and who probably should have been drafted a round or two behind where he was. That's not really how we evaluate or draft quarterbacks, though, right? I mean, you have a great year in the Big Ten and you're the conference player of the year and you got the rocket arm like he does, and you go a lot higher on the board than you were supposed to. We've done this for years with guys like Jake Locker at 8 and Christian Ponder at 12 and E.J. Manuel at 16 and
Josh Allen,
Blaine Gabbert at 10.
Josh Allen.
The list goes on and on, right? But look, Dwayne Haskins, I think, will start if Case Keenum can't. That's what the Redskins have said all week. I right now am very skeptical about Keenum. You know, they're hoping he can just kind of, in the 12th hour, come sometime Friday or Saturday, pass all the tests he needs to, and without much practice, get out there. Regardless, the Bills' defense is outstanding, and the Redskins are going to have a hard time scoring 10 points. I don't think it matters who's playing. I'll say, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, you're heaping praise on the Bills' defense that got gashed for over 200 yards by Philadelphia's run offense, and Adrian Peterson still looks like he has some gas left in the tank. I mean, is that a weakness that can be exploited by Washington this Sunday?
They haven't been able to run the ball all year, so I would say no. I think whatever's ailing your defense here recently is going to get right on Sunday. And this isn't just me bashing the Redskins. I mean, this is backed up by the numbers and everything, all the rankings you can look up. Look, the Redskins' left tackle is 36 years old, and they signed him because he played with their quarterback's coach, Tim Rattay, essentially, at one point in time. Their left guard was Eric Flowers, was almost out of football and had to change positions. Their center is kind of a sixth-round pick journeyman who has done well but is just a guy. Their right guard is in flux, you know, week in and week out based on the health of Brandon Scherff. He's the one really good player, pro bowler on that line. And then their right tackle, who's high-paid, isn't playing very well. They don't have tight ends that are healthy. Jordan Reed's out for the year. Vernon Davis has been out with a concussion for a few weeks. They struggle to block when they are there, and that's a really weak position for them right now. And they've got one wide receiver who makes plays in Terry McLaurin. Now, McKeenum is a vagabond who's been all over the joint, and Haskins is, I mentioned, he has a hard time reading defenses. You see it with the no touchdowns, the four picks. You know, he is, whatever flaws Josh Allen has, you know, take basically the poor man's version of him and have him a lot less prepared to play in the league, and you got like the rocket arm with some of the lacking anticipation and accuracy things, and that's right now what you're getting out of Haskins, who has a hard time with some of the procedural stuff getting out of the huddle. So I would not be worried if I was a Bills fan, and I think defensively, look, the Redskins are averaging less than 8 points a game since they fired Jay Gruden a month ago. They want to run the ball on first down, which is analytically a bad idea in today's day and age. They don't really boot or play action a whole lot. It's just been ugly, man. It's been a boring offense to watch, so I think you're going to be just fine on Sunday.
We're talking to Grant Paulson, 106.7 The Fan in D.C., our guest here in the Sports Bar. The Redskin franchise, the state of the Redskins here in 2019. How much of this do you pin on ownership?
A lot. The vast majority. A couple of reasons, guys. Number one, culturally, they are a mess, and they have been for a long time. Now, who sets the agenda? Who establishes the culture? You know, we could kind of debate that a little bit, but it starts with ownership, in my opinion. Dan Snyder has empowered the team president, Bruce Allen, who's run the club very poorly for a long time now. And after, this is literally his 10th season, and horrendous results. They have not won a playoff game during that time, and they've won double-digit games once. You know, he seems to never be in jeopardy from a job standpoint. So that's number one. Number two, you know, every time they have a huge decision to make, and I understand that ownership's going to get involved with quarterbacks and drafting top-end passers or, you know, with head coaches and things, but every time they make a big decision, it seems like, you know, the ownership opinion is different than the coaching or GM front office-type opinion. And they go with the ownership opinion, not the football people. So they did that with Dwayne Haskins. They did it when they decided not to pay Kirk Cousins. And since not doing so, three teams, including the Bills, by the way, have a worse quarterback rating than the Redskins starting with week one of last year. That's the list. And they had a bird in the hand, and they wanted to count two in the bush. So, yeah, I think a lot of it is Dan Snyder. I would put Bruce Allen almost as guilty if I'm divvying up a blame pie, because he's the guy that's supposed to be running the football outfit. And beyond that, and then you get to the coaching and the players. They don't have a whole lot of talent right now on either side of the ball. Specifically, though, as I was chronicling on offense, they just lack playmakers that scare you.
Grant, I don't want to bury the lead. You're in Houston for a very important game six for the Washington Nationals tonight. If they have any desires on winning the World Series, they've got to pull one out tonight. I want to go back to game five. When did you find out about Scherzer not being able to make the start, and how much is that going to affect their chances here over the course of the next two games?
Yeah, it's funny you asked that. So I was at the ballpark, in fact, and I walked out on the field, and one of the guys that I talk with regularly at the games said, "Hey, what do you think of Joe Ross?" And I said, "Oh, he pitched really well the other night." And I thought he was just talking about his two innings of relief, because it's kind of crazy that he was on the World Series roster to begin with, let alone got into a game. And then he said, no, I'm talking about he's pitching tonight. I was shocked. I mean, this was like, 2.5 hours before first pitch. The news hadn't broken yet. It ended up being just staggering, kind of taking the air out of the ballpark. It wasn't why they lost, though. Joe Ross was competitive. They can't hit right now. And it's a shame, because it's the first time all year, fellas, that they've gone three games scoring three runs or fewer. They went 1 for 21 with runners in scoring position in the three home games, all losses. So they got to find a way to come through with some runners on and start to swing the bats a little bit. Not easy to do with Justin Verlander on the hill.
Well, I mean, if it gets to be a bullpen game tonight, and I would think that's what you want to hope for. We had that old bleep moment if you're a Dodger fan. Oh, there's Scherzer coming out of the bullpen. I mean, how do you manage that? Do you save Scherzer for a potential game seven? Or if this is like Survivor football, there is no tomorrow. Do they treat it like all hands on deck and they trot out Scherzer tonight in the seventh, eighth, whatnot tonight?
So he won't be available tonight. He just threw on the field just a little bit ago here at Minute Maid Park, and they're hopeful, miraculously, that he'd be able to pitch tomorrow. I still am skeptical, and I'm not sure about that. I had one person with the team tell me that there's no way he'll be able to pitch in Game 7. It seems like he's progressing, though, and might actually be able to against all odds. He got all kinds of treatment and cortisone shot and all kinds of things that are going to help him, I think, at least for a few days, feel a little bit better, and then who knows where we're at a week or two from now with his recovery. But you're not going to see him tonight. I'm 100% sure of that. Their plan tonight is they've got Steven Strasburg throwing. He generally gives them 6 or 7 innings. So they'll bank on him being terrific. Remember, he was 6 innings, 2 runs, 114 pitches in game 2. Not his best stuff, I wouldn't say, but good enough to kind of keep the Astros at bay, and they got to Verlander in the 7th to win a squeaker until they poured on 10 runs late in a blowout win where they scored 12. But Strasburg for 6 or 7, and then their A bullpen. Sean Doolittle, their lefty setup man, and Daniel Hudson, their righty closer. If they need to go to someone else, it'll be their flame-throwing middle reliever, Tanner Rainey. But I don't think you'll see anybody beyond those guys tonight.
Grant, if it does go Game 7 and Scherzer's not available, what's the plan?
Then Anibal Sanchez would start, who started Game 3 at Nationals Park. And he was really good in the division series, 5 innings, 1 run, 9 Ks against the Dodgers. He was better in the league championship series when he took a no-hitter into the 8th against the Cardinals. Didn't have a great start by any means against the Astros in this series, but he'd get the call. He'd be on normal rest, remember. So he's a starter who could give you, you'd like to think, 4 or 5 innings. And then it's a whole staff day. Yeah. As one person told me, kind of a kitchen sink day. If you're a pitcher on this team, you might throw.
Well, take us before Game 5. How did the series kind of spin away from Washington in Games 3 and 4 then?
One, I think the Astros are really good, and I think they're probably better than the Nats. I think you guys would probably agree with that. I think, everything was going Washington's way. They were getting breaks, and balls were falling, foul territory that could have blooped in for hits. These near home runs were going just wide of the foul poles. Some of those things stopped happening, right? Some of those breaks were no longer theirs. The other thing is, I mentioned the offense. They went from coming through when they had runners on and the limited opportunities they were getting in Games 1 and 2 off Cole and Verlander for crooked number innings, and those became zeros and bagels because they would get first and second, nobody out or something against Greinke, and he'd get out of the jam. So they went 0 for 10 and 1 for 9 in back-to-back games at home with runners in scoring position. And the 1 for 9 in Game 4 was a hit from Rendon that didn't score a run that was stayed in the infield, bounced off a pitcher's leg to load the bases. So they 19 straight chances to just get a base hit out of the infield and you score, and they didn't get any of them. And that kind of was all she wrote to get to 2-2. Now then the Scherzer setback was obviously massive. But again, you didn't hit. You scored one run again, and you couldn't get that big swing. So they did it in Houston for 2 games. They didn't do it at home for 3, and now they'll do everything they can to try to get to Game 7 and keep their fingers crossed maybe that they could see Scherzer.
He is Grant Paulson, 106.7 The Fan, our sister station in Washington, D.C. You can listen to Grant's work and the work of dozens of other radio sports radio stations on the radio.com app. Grant, it's great hearing your voice. Thanks for making time for us, not just this week, but last week as well. And let's do it again soon.
Yeah, my pleasure. Anytime, guys. Be well.
Grant Paulson, 106.7 The Fan in Houston, and tonight we'll have the coverage of game number 6, pregame at 7, first pitch at 8:07 tonight, as again, it'll be Justin Verlander against Washington's Steven Strasburg. Fun fact about Verlander, he is 0-5 all-time in World Series starts, so that's going tonight, at least in Washington's favor.
Oh, I thought you were going to play a game on me. I thought you were going to play, I thought you were trolling me. Fun fact about Verlander.
Oh, did you know he's got an attractive wife?
Really?
Yeah. She's a model.
Somebody we would know? Kate Upton? I just Googled Kate Upton cat daddy. Whoa. Okay. I'll be tuning in tonight.
We didn't ask him about the flasher. Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, let's get to NFL appetizers. We can make it really quick. The Bills did not make a trade.
No. In fact, nobody really did. There was one trade to report today.
Handful of updates. Might have been a costly win for the Steelers. Not like they're healthy to begin with, but they could have lost one of their stars for a bit last night as well. A bunch of other stories that we're following from around the league, including the benching of a Buffalo favorite in Cincinnati.
And a team actually fired their offensive coordinator after a win.
Oh, God. That made
when
me,
does that happen?
That made me go back to the bar cart last night when I got that news. How does a team who just beat the Bears, my team, fire their offensive coordinator the next day? What is going on? NFL appetizers. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com. We go around the NFL next and serve up the day's top stories in bite-sized form. NFL apps on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.